All right, let's take a deep breath. And I like to breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out the ego. Or breathe in peace and faith and trust and breathe out fear and doubt. In trust, out doubt. Let's take this time now to acknowledge our gratitude to God, the Holy Spirit, for bringing us together as we continue our search for truth and miracles. We affirm the presence of the one true teacher who is here among us and who speaks through and to each one of us. We affirm that what we hear here, if we listen, is what we were meant to hear. As into the awareness of his presence do we now enter. Talk to me and through me. So today we are going to talk about trust. And we're going to talk about the voice for God, and we're going to talk about God's will and our will, and how we tend to think that they're two different things. We tend to think that God's will is something separate from, different than, out there, hard to know. Did you ever hear that when someone says, "It's impossible to know God's will. How could you know God's will?" But as a student and teacher of A Course in Miracles, we do know what God's will is. God's will is our will. Our true will is God's will. Our true will is God's will. And we tend to be afraid that whatever we think we want in this world, that we're not going to get what we think we want or what we think we need. And we're afraid that if we surrender to God's will, that we won't have what we will, what we really want. But when we realize that what we really want, our deep desire, our true desire, is peace and love and to know ourselves truly and to know God, our Father, truly. When we realize that is what we truly want, then we know our true will is exactly what God's will is. And that when we think apart from that, we are misperceiving and we are coming from lack. The belief that we don't have what we need, we can't have what we need. The belief that we are vulnerable and weak. The belief that we are guilty and wrong. The belief we are small and limited. And we decide for ourselves based on those beliefs and separation that we know our will and we don't want any interference in it. And yet, time and time again, seeking and not finding in the world, we're miserable, fearful, alone, angry, resentful, controlling. So the deep surrender is letting go of what we think we know as our will, trusting that our true will be revealed when we let go of the stories. And we will know God's will. That God's will and our will are one and the same. That God's will and our will are one in the same. I've been given several readings to read from today. And one of them is from A Course in Miracles, chapter 11, Section 1. The Gifts of Fatherhood. If you believe you are absent from God, you will believe that He is absent from you. Infinity is meaningless without you, and you are then meaningless without God. There is no end to God and His Son, for we are the universe. God is not incomplete, and He is not childless, because He did not will to be alone. He created a Son like Himself. The universe of love does not stop because you do not see it, nor have your closed eyes lost the ability to see. Look upon the glory of His creation, and you will learn what God has kept for you. God has given you a place in His mind that is yours forever. Yet you can keep it only by giving it, as it was given you. Could you be alone there, when it was given you because God did not will to be alone? God is your heritage, because His one gift is Himself. Yet what you will, you do not know. This is not strange when you realize that to deny is to not know. God's will is that you are His Son. By denying this, you deny your own will, and therefore do not know what it is. You must ask what God's will is in everything, because it is yours. It is your will. You must ask what God's will is in everything, because it is your will. You do not know what it is, but the Holy Spirit remembers it for you. Ask Him, therefore, what God's will is for you, and He will tell you yours. It cannot be too often repeated that you do not know it. Whenever what the Holy Spirit tells you appears to be coercive, it is only because you have not recognized your own will. How often do we feel that inner conflict? There's something we've decided for ourselves, and then there's this knowing, this party pooper. We want it to go a different way, and there's this subtle, silent, quiet voice that's just sits there reminding us that that isn't what we truly want. That isn't what the truth of the situation and of ourselves really is, and beckons to be listened to. And because we're so identified in that moment with the body and with the world that we see, because we're so identified, we treat our true will as foreign to us, and the Holy Spirit we might hear as coercive, trying to get us to do something, that nagging voice inside that we might refer to it as. But as we let go of what we think we know more and more, we learn to trust. We learn to trust that that voice within is our true will and speaks for us, no matter how much we misperceive. The projection of the ego makes it appear as if God's will is outside yourself and therefore not yours. When I was a little girl, I would pray, not really that consistently, but I would think that it was up there, out there, that I was praying to. And even after I started listening to the Holy Spirit truly, there were times when I would pray and I would still find myself praying up and out there, and the Holy Spirit would keep reminding me that I did not need to do that, that it was within me that I needed to be praying to, in gratitude. But I was afraid. I kept believing it had to be up there, out there, because I couldn't believe that my will could be God's will. I couldn't believe that God could be within me, and I within God. I was so attached to the belief that we were separate. That we were separate. God and I, Father and Son, separate. I no longer do that anymore. But it definitely took a while for me to let my fingers loosen its grip off of that concept and pull in and be centered and trust. And when I pray in gratitude, knowing I'm really just affirming the connection and the awareness in my consciousness. So the projection of the ego makes it appear as if God's will is outside yourself and therefore not your will. In this interpretation, it seems possible for God's will and yours to conflict. God then may seem to demand of you what you do not want to give, and thus deprive you of what you want. Would God, who wants only your will, be capable of this? Your will is his life, which he has given to you. Even in time, you cannot live apart from him. Sleep is not death. What he created can sleep, but it cannot die. You cannot be happy unless you do what you will truly. And you cannot change this because it is immutable. Immutable means unable to be altered or changed. My true deep desire is what I want to know. My will is what I want to know. It is immutable by God's will and yours, for otherwise, his will would not be extended. And I love this part. You are afraid to know God's will because you believe it is not your will. This belief is your whole sickness and your whole fear. Every symptom of sickness and fear arises here. Because this is the belief that makes you want not to know your own will. What makes you want not to know God's will? Believing this, you hide in darkness, denying that the light is in you. You are asked to trust the Holy Spirit only because he speaks for you. He is the voice for God, but never forget that God did not will to be alone. He shares his will with you. He does not thrust it upon you. Always remember that what he gives, he keeps, so that nothing he gives can contradict him. You who share his life must share it to know it, for sharing is knowing. Blessed are you who learn that to hear the will of your Father is to know your own will. For it is your will to be like him, whose will it is that it be so. God's will is that his Son be one and united with him in his oneness. That is why healing is the beginning of the recognition that your will is his will. And that was from chapter 11, section 1. The second reading is from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, page 299 in Corinthians, chapter 11. Keep what you truly want in your mind and let true desire be your guide. Follow my guidance as I lead you to your truth. I am grateful to you for continuing on the path with me, just as I am grateful to you for all things. For I can never not be grateful to you, because I know your truth, and I know your Father, who created you the same as He. Trust in me as I am your authority in the world. I am not a false authority, which would not recognize you and would try to tell you what to do. I am true authority, because I do recognize you. I lead you where you want to go. Do not fear that I will ask you to do what you do not want to do. I cannot do that, because I know what you are. This is why I wait for your invitation to give you what you want. For I do know that you want it, but knowing who you are, I wait until you know also. You can trust in me because I am you. We are one in God. Therefore, I cannot want for you that which you do not want for yourself. I can only want for you that which you do want. This is why you have freedom to choose dreams of illusion, if that is the experience you desire. I will not take from you that which you desire. I will only give that which you seek. I cannot take. I can only give because I know that you are me. Remember me in all things and in all that you do. Remember that I am your truth, and I am the one within you who does not lose sight of your true desire. While you may still lose sight, give all things to me. In this way, you are led consistently in the direction of your truth. Hold nothing back from me. Do not feel you need to handle anything yourself. For to feel you must handle anything yourself is to believe that we are not one, and that I can want what you do not want. Let go of your desire to have things your way by remembering that your way, separate from me, is illusion. That way is no way. Surrender that way and become an empty shell. Trust in me is trust in yourself with a capital S. You do not give trust to something that is not you, for I am you. This is why you can trust me. I am you and I see you. Because I see you as me, I know you. I am not the illusory self who leads you through blindness and fear. I am the true self with a capital S who leads you through light and through knowledge. I will never make you suffer, because I know you cannot suffer. You can only be free. And through our freedom, I share my freedom with you. So you may rest and not fear. Whatever you want shall be given as long as you want it. When you do not want it, it will not be taken away. You will release it of your own freedom. It is through becoming an empty shell that you signal you have tired of games. So it is through your gift of an empty shell that I shall fill you with the memory of our truth. I just love how beautiful that is. Trusting that I know I could keep wanting and wanting and wanting, coming from the belief that I am separate than my brothers, the Holy Spirit, and God. But all of that wanting just spins me in circles. All of that seeking and not finding in the world. But to see my will truly as God's will. To see that what the Holy Spirit wants is what I want, is to surrender without fear into peace and trust and following that guidance. In A Course in Miracles, in Chapter 3, in the section 2, Miracles as True Perception, paragraph 4, Jesus says, "You are afraid of God's will because you have used your own mind, which He created in the likeness of His own, to miscreate. The mind can miscreate only when it believes it is not free. An imprisoned mind is not free because it is possessed or held back by itself. It is therefore limited, and the will is not free to assert itself. To be one is to be of one mind or will. When the will of the Sonship and the Father are one, their perfect accord is heaven." It's so interesting what we tend to call free will. That free will is that I will decide separate and apart from anybody or anything. We think it's free will to be able to choose between all these different perceptions. We think it's free will to be able to choose. But Jesus says, it is not free will, but imprisoned will. Because the choice is not real. There is no choice between illusion and truth. When truth is seen truly, illusion falls away as darkness when the light shines upon it. It is not free will to be imprisoned, quote-unquote, by your own mind. To be coming from lack and fear is not free will at all. To believe stuff that is not true and to react to it within us by projecting it without us and then to react to what we think is without us even further is imprisonment. It is not free will. The mind is not free until it is returned to its true awareness, its true state. And it goes on to read, "Nothing can prevail against the Son of God who commends his spirit into the hands of his Father. By doing this, the mind awakens from its sleep and remembers its Creator. All sense of separation disappears. The Son of God is part of the Holy Trinity, but the Trinity itself is one. There is no confusion within its levels, because they are of one mind and one will. This single purpose creates perfect integration and establishes the peace of God. Yet this vision can be perceived only by the truly innocent, because their hearts are pure. The innocent defend true perception instead of defending themselves against it." There was a man I knew once who studied A Course in Miracles, and when he would read the book once in a while, he would get this look of disgust on his face, and he would say, "I feel like Jesus is yelling at me or bossing me around or telling me what to do, and I react to it. I react to it." And in that, you can see that he truly believes his will is not the same, but he's really attached to the belief in separation, that his will is not God's, and identified with ego and fear. Understanding the lesson of the atonement, they are without the wish to attack, and therefore they see truly. This is what the Bible means when it says, "When he shall appear or be perceived, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The way to correct distortions is to withdraw your faith in them and invest it only in what is true. You cannot make untruth true. If you are willing to accept what is true in everything you perceive, you let it be true for you. Truth overcomes all error, and those who live in error and emptiness can never find lasting solace. If you perceive truly, you are canceling out misperceptions in yourself and in others simultaneously. Because you see them as they are, you offer them your acceptance of their truth, so they can accept it for themselves. This is the healing that the miracle induces.
Have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth. And I will listen to
one of my favorite paragraphs in the Course in Miracles is in the workbook, and it's in lesson 135. And it very much speaks to this, as the Holy Spirit asks you, what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps you have misunderstood his plan, for he would never offer pain to you, but your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing shine in every step you ever took. While you made plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life. What I truly love about that is just the reminder that, hey, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. You think that my will and your will are two totally different things, and that you are trying to be talked into or done to. But it isn't. I am helping you to remember your true will is my will. To bring you home in your mind. If you but knew that everything was gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. One purpose, one mind. And Dove says, and we either keep resisting or accept gladly. In Lesson 72, in A Course in Miracles, in paragraph 8, Jesus says, your upside-down perception has been ruinous to your peace of mind. You have seen yourself in a body and the truth outside of you, locked away from your awareness by the body's limitations. The light of truth is in us, where it was placed by God. It is the body that is outside us and is not our concern. To be without a body is to be in our natural state. To recognize the light of truth in us is to recognize ourselves as we are. To see ourself with a capital S as separate from the body is to end the attack on God's plan for salvation and to accept it instead. And wherever his plan is accepted, it is accomplished already. I love that. It's upside down perception. You believe you're a body and that the truth is outside of you. And forever you will search and be confused. This person says this, that person says that. This book says this, that book says that. This religion says this, that religion says that. Seek and be confused. Believe you're a body and that the truth is outside of you, locked away from your awareness by the body's limitations. That is the upside-down perception that robs us of peace of mind. But see ourselves as the light. See ourselves as spirit, as truth, as love. and that the body is not us, but is useful to us in our remembering of who we are as a communication device, and that's all it is, nothing else, and nothing in truth. There is a gorgeous, gorgeous section of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament on page 395. It is time for a reminder of that which you are tempted to forget. It is time to look on love and remember clearly that you look on the truth of you. Do not doubt your truth. It is within you, and it is you. You feel guilty because you believe you have abused your truth. You believe you have used your truth to separate yourself and to create pain in the heart of God. There is no pain in the heart of God. There is only the illusion of pain within your mind when you look away from the truth of what you are. It is time that you remember so the illusion of pain may stop and your joy may be released, just as the blue sky is revealed by the parting of the clouds. You are everything. This is not a sentence. This is not even a thought. This is the fact of the truth of you. Look up and remember. You are everything. Everything that you see, everything that you seem to know, everything you could possibly be aware of is within the mind that is you. Every tiny aspect, without exception, is you. Take a moment to take in the majesty of this realization. Once in a while, I look around and I start doing that practice of saying, I am that I am. I am that I am. I am that I am. It's a great neutralizer. If I have a judgment about somebody or something, some event, thinking it shouldn't be the way that it is, I say, I am that I am. And I realize what I'm really seeing. It neutralizes it. Oh, that was just a thought I had about myself. Would I choose to have that or the truth? You are everything. Feel the meaning of these words beyond your thinking mind. Feel the majesty and the glory. See the innocence of every thought within the realization of this one truth. You are everything. And if you are everything, there is nothing that must not be you. And if there is nothing that is not you, there is nothing that is not an expression of your desire. And if there is nothing that is not an expression of your desire, then everything that is given must be given to you by you as love. Look on the world and do not fear it, for it is your friend. The world is showing you that which you desire in the recesses of your mind. This is important because you are not always aware of what you ask, and so you do not always trust that it is your gift that you receive. Look on the world. It is useful to show you what you ask. What is shown to you is given to you through the love that you are. Look on it in a new way. Look on it in gratitude for the truth of what you are. As you give gratitude for this gift of love, you shall know its love. As you know its love is all you shall see. Lift your eyes in truth and see the glory of all that you are. Anything that is not love in your sight is an error. To see the love before you, let go of your error. It is blinding you to the truth that sets you free. I am restored to you in your remembrance of me. Lift up your eyes and look. In your remembrance, I am all that you see. Your spirit is all that you are, and all that you are is within all that you see. Amen. Nikki and I gave a talk on parents and children and healing, and it was beautiful, and I loved it. And I knew I was getting guided to let go of doing the Monday talks, and I wasn't able to say it out loud. And I had a story about it, and one of the stories was I didn't want to let Dove down. Another story was now Nikki wanted to do another talk. My knowing that Nikki is moving, and my story about Nikki moving, story about not wanting to disappoint Dove, because Dove loved us sharing together, was the reason that I said yes to doing another talk, instead of really asking the Holy Spirit and knowing what my true will was, what I truly wanted, what was truly God's will, what was truly the Holy Spirit guiding me. And so I had this conflict where I started feeling like I'm concerned about this, and that little seed, that those two thoughts were just growing into little plants, and the whole while becoming more and more aware that I had decided without the Holy Spirit. And I was like, well, I'll just do it. Is it okay to just do it? And I kept getting this, it's okay, but, it's okay, but, from the Holy Spirit. When I'm really stubborn with whatever thought that I'm married to, and the whole thing is because of this thought that needs to heal, that the situation is even happening the way that it is anyway. And so the understanding, compassion, and love of the Holy Spirit is immeasurable. Because if I want to, the Holy Spirit will go with me, in a sense, and help me in any possible way that I ask for help in it. And so I was asking, what shall we talk about, and etc. And the Holy Spirit told us relationships, and I had asked Nikki if we could be on the same page as to what we're going to talk about, knowing that we'll be guided to read whatever we're guided to read and share, that I wanted to meet with her to talk about. And she said that she doesn't plan, that planning is not with the Holy Spirit. And my experience is different. My experience with the Holy Spirit is that I could plan as a separate entity, that my will is separate from the Holy Spirit's, or I could plan knowing that my true will is the Holy Spirit's. And of course, how perfect was it that she said what she said to trigger up what the truth was within me about the situation, for me to say, well, Lisa, are you really believing this? Because you are deciding apart from. No matter what, I couldn't let go of the story I had about Dove being disappointed, and the story I had about Nikki moving, and this might be our only chance, and what if Nikki doesn't talk on Pal Talk because I didn't give her another chance to practice with me or something. And here were the stories that I had going in my head. And I was sitting in my car. I said, please help me. I can't let these go. I can't let them go. Please help me. And the Holy Spirit said, set them aside. What would you decide truly if Dove would not be disappointed and Nikki was totally okay in this? What would you decide? And I surrendered and I said, I would decide not to do it because that's truly what I feel. And then the Holy Spirit said, now you see these stories that you created, that they're just your stories, but setting them aside only is not going to help you heal them. But if you need to see what the truth is and you cannot open the channel, you can temporarily say, what would I decide truly if these stories were not true? And so that was very helpful to me. And then I told Dove, and then I told Nikki, and Nikki said that she would possibly do a talk, that she was actually thinking, you know, I think I might do the talk by myself. I said to tell Dove, and that I would tell Dove the next day. The world did not end as I thought it would. Dove was not disappointed. He trusts guidance. And Nikki, I don't really actually know if she was disappointed or not, but I do trust that everything happens for her good. And I feel complete peace. It was the story that told me different. And so this is a perfect example of surrendering and letting go and trusting. Really trusting and knowing that why we want to know what the truth is because it is our will, and it will reveal to us who we truly are and bring us to peace. The other day I was in a course group and somebody had said that sometimes the ego sounds like the Holy Spirit. I have never had the experience where the ego sounded like the Holy Spirit. I have never received pure, true peace by the ego. I haven't. I will have some semblance that I feel like things are okay, but it's usually because I'm trying to play with smoke screens and move really, really quickly and tell myself, oh, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay, and not really paying attention and not being centered. But if I'm centered and I'm asking, and I'm truly willing to know what the truth is, and remembering that if I feel a conflict at all, that it is because I do not know what my true will is. I do not know what God's will is in that moment. And I do not know it enough for it to be all that I focus on. But I know it a little because it's popping its head up and it's saying, oh, there's another way to look at this. Oh, there's another way to look at this. Oh, there's another way to look at this. But I've never had the experience of having the ego play the Holy Spirit because the peace isn't there. And that's key. That knowing isn't there. And that's key. That feeling, that joy, the awareness of presence. But there was a lot of time in my life, a lot of time, especially up until I was 22, where I just thought whatever I thought, and I had no idea who was who in my mind because I wasn't searching for it. I wasn't aware of the need to do that. I would believe maybe about 15 to 22 especially, I was very, very asleep. And very, very mired in dissociation, denial, and addiction, that I really, honestly, couldn't hear the Holy Spirit for anything. And boy, just as you might suspect, that was the most tumultuous time of my entire life. It was between 15 and 22. And for the past 17 years, been really following and listening to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit helps me to heal my mind by showing me all of the stories that I still cling to and the ways that I look at the world and at myself, all based on separation. And I'm just feeling so good, so happy, and so peaceful, and so blessed and full of love, knowing that my will is God's will. Knowing that my will is God's will. It's just beautiful. I first believed that I separated from God. I projected that onto my dad. Then I take that and I project it back onto God again. Wow. What a doozy. And then I made God in the image of who I thought I was, who I thought my dad was, who I thought an authority figure would be, somebody who would judge and punish and to be afraid of. So there's no doubt in my mind why I would be afraid of God's will if I have that kind of story about God. But since I don't have that story now about God, and really have been following guidance and healing for 17 years, 18 years, it's been so amazing that I've been able to turn back every so often and see how much healing has happened, no matter what doubt still occurs in my mind. Because as I told you just this past week, my story about Nikki moving was enough for me to spin. Nikki's a very close friend of mine. She's feels like a younger sister, if that makes any sense. And intuitively, she feels this way. And that's how we've showed up for each other too. And I know this, and I love her so much. They do not feel like her moving is going to separate us any more than we could be talking just as much as we talk now, which is not even as much as one might think. But the coming together that day and talking about our healing and our friendship triggered up this thought that said, I don't want her to leave. And as soon as I had that ego fear thought of separation, that's what started to spin all of that. There's a line that says, say what you mean and mean what you say, because those that matter don't mind, and those that mind don't matter. And that's Dr. Seuss. To really be authentic and truly listen to the Holy Spirit, the guidance from within, we need to say what we mean and mean what we say. We need to know what the truth is, trusting that all that happens from it is what's supposed to happen. If somebody gets annoyed by it or upset by it or leaves or stays or whatever happens from the ego's perception, from the Holy Spirit's perception, it's all perfect. Everything is happening for us because that shows what their healing has brought up for them to be released. It shows what's been brought up for them by the Holy Spirit, by their true will to be known. Knowing that I am the Son of God, that it is my right to know myself, whole and returned in awareness to the kingdom, my home. My home is a kingdom. I am love. I reside in love. I am peace. I reside in peace. I am only that which is true. I release illusion and I trust. I'm very grateful to be able to walk through letting go of my illusions and healing my mind with you, blooming where I'm planted, knowing that my mind isn't totally healed, totally acknowledging that with gratitude, without shame, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me and through me, for me, to teach me as I teach, to heal me as I heal. If I let go of who I think I am, what I truly am will tell me of itself. I am the light of the world. I see all my brothers as lights. Some of them waiting to remember that they are the light of the world. Some of them actively remembering who they are. And as we come together and hold hands, we realize our oneness, our truth, our peace, our heaven is here. Now, the real world. So let's take time now to hold in gratitude our lessons that we learn, the beliefs in separation that we unlearned, and the blocks to the awareness of love's presence and to the truth of who we are released. As we listen to and continue to listen to the guidance of the one true teacher within us, we embrace the truth that we are one, that we are equal, sons of God, and that God's will and our will are one will. They are the same. And we do this in silence. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Amen. Thank you so much for being here with me so that we can share this teaching of the Holy Spirit.
Let's hear a little of Rumi. Maybe a little Don't Go Back to Sleep.
Don't go back to sleep.